that restriction. Sorry, Jason, I'll highlight, because I don't know if anybody of you have heard that. It was somebody, a young man, went and got a boat. And part of the deal is when you get that new boat, you get the old captain who owned that boat before. But you're going to lock him in one room and don't let him get out. As far as the person that gave you the boat, as far as he's concerned, that old man, that old captain is locked in the room. So positionally, that means what the word positionally is. As far as God is concerned, that old man you have put out. It's one deal thing, one time in the eyes of God, that old man is locked out. And you have put on the new man. Having put on the new man, you have already done that in the eyes of God. Now, that old man in the eyes of God is gone, is put out. Now, if you let him get out and start telling you how to run your ship, that's not God's problem. That's your problem. You shouldn't lock it. Don't let him out. Don't let him out at all. Keep him under lock and key.
Could the thought be, though, that perhaps it is a good thing that he's still there, not that he should be out, but even the fact that he's there, to the fact that would he not be, would we have the dependence on the Lord that we have right now? And is that, does not that bring out the Lord's glory just in the fact that we have that dependence on him?
I like to think of it as a fact that because we struggle with the old man, we can rejoice in the fact that the Spirit of God enables us to keep him low. That's why in verse 25 we have the word wherefore. Because we are positionally and as seen as having put off the old man and put on the new man, now we can practically on a daily basis be those who lie not, neither give place to the devil. You see, you have to look at it as a result of. Because I recognize what God has done, and if I live in the good of where God has placed me positionally, then the things that were associated with that former manner of life, I'm no longer bound by those things. So if I live in the good of the new man, now I can be someone who edifies the saints. I can be someone who is an encouragement. And my manner of life takes its character after God, which again is righteousness and holiness. And this is something, young people, that we really need to lay a hold of. Because you're going to be challenged along the lines of righteousness and holiness every day in your life. The things that I see, the things that I hear, the places I go. And if I have this new man on and I reckon him as being put up in the good of the character that has been passed on to me from God.
If I can, I think we get this very clearly in verse 28 in this example. Let the stealer steal no more, but rather let him toil, working what is honest with his hands, that he may have to distribute to him that has need. I mean, look at this verse. The exhortation is to a thief, not only to stop stealing, but now go out and have an honest job so that you could have money for yourself by that honest job and have more money so that you can give to other people. I mean, that's wonderful. A thief is now being told, stop stealing, work, and give. I mean, think about it. Maybe you're not a thief. Maybe your problem was more like mine. Okay, you have a hard time controlling stupid things that come out of your mouth all the time. Well, let the foolish kid who keeps saying stupid things stop saying stupid things, and instead let him study the word that he may have something good to say to edify the saints. Mm-hmm. Or you could apply it in whatever way. But this is the power that we were talking about, the power that God can take somebody who's a thief, who's a foolish speaker, who has corrupt words only coming out of his mouth, who has a drug habit or pornography habit or whatever the case may be, and could take that person and not only stop him from doing the bad things, but now turn him around and make him useful to everybody around him. This is the character of this new man. This is the power that God is giving.
Just along with that, I wanted to point out that as an astronaut, when you're given the new suit, you do have a mission to complete. And just as we are given the new man, we do have a mission. We have a responsibility to act as we should, as they do in space, we do here. And on Earth, we're not in our real home, as they're not in space. And once they do complete their mission and do return to where they're meant to be, they are they do rise in rank as we will when we rise.
So let me get this straight. We have two parts of how dealing with our old life. There's one that we should not forget, what state we were in before the Lord Jesus saved us. That's what you pointed out as well yesterday. And I think we should always be thankful and keep it in our hearts. There is a danger that as we go forward, we forget what we were, and we start to, you know, look on other people also that maybe in a hard way and start judging them, and we forget that we were just like them or worse. And be thankful to the Lord and bring that gratitude all our lives. The other part is, and we find that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, I think. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. So if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if you turn with me to Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43, verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the ancient things. Behold, I do a new thing, now it shall spring forth." So on the other hand, he's doing something completely new, and we're called to not consider what is behind us. We're called to thank the Lord as soon as we think of what we were. Don't go on in your thoughts. It won't take you anywhere. Just say straight to the Lord and say thank you. We are called to forget the pictures that we have in our heads. We are called to forget sometimes also to, it may sound hard, but cut off relationships or, you know, not to go on and pursue certain friendships that we have. That is really tough. Some of us will go back into our environment and, you know, feel that things have become different. We have found a new way of looking at things maybe. And so we're called to also forget that. And that's an active process.
Verse 30, where we have, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a divine person. There's a good book on that at the bookshelf. It was half price yesterday, or free actually, if you went. And it's half price today if you already got a different one. But it is it's a good book. It tells us all about this verse. But the fact that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit, who is a divine, is a person. He can be lied to. We have an example of that in the scripture. He is grieved when we allow, to sum it up, the old man to come and take residence in places that he ought not to take residence in. So all these things, bitterness, wrath, all these things that are to be put away, none of these things are from the Holy Spirit. And he's grieved when we allow any of these things to come into our lives. And so we want to be careful and remember that we take him with us. He is in us. We're indwelt by him, the Holy Spirit. So we take him with us when we go to this place, that place, when we watch this thing, and when we do that thing. Wherever we are, he is with us. And he is dishonored, and he's grieved when we allow the old man to take control.